Hi, everybody. It's James and Andy here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two-fourths of a group of people who love facts, and we love to find new facts, and we come here every week and tell each other about them. For instance, Andy, did you know that one of the world's oldest cycling road races is getting much harder because people keep stealing the road?
I want to know more already, but I'm instead going to tell you my new fact, which is that some ancient coffins from the 17th century have faces.
The coffins have faces.
It's really creepy.
Not just on the inside.
No.
Wow. If you like the sound of those facts, or indeed facts in general, then come and find us, No Such Thing as a Fish, wherever you get your podcasts.
The movie The Dentist with Corbin Burnson.
Yeah. That's a great movie.
Yeah.
That, like, scared the pants off me when I was a kid, because like, imagine, you know, like there's this nice acculturated educated Jewish man who could totally snap and then strap you down in a chair and drill your teeth out without anesthesia. I was like, that really, like, that gave me that hot white heat of panic right behind my neck, you know.
This week on Radio Labyrinth, the No One Saw This Coming breakup between Tom Segura and Christina P. The Wes Craven Estate announces a brand new Nightmare on Elm Street reboot. We pay tribute to the late Sam Neill. Plus, horror author Alex Grass joins us to talk about his brand new collection of short stories, Infernal Tramps, Tales of Weird Horror. And he's a great guest. I think you're going to enjoy that. All that and the usual Radio Labyrinth nonsense. Well, we're back, and this week, Lizzie does not have a moo-moo on. We completely ignored that last week, and we could have gone all sorts of Mrs. Roper on her, but she didn't have the hair, you know, the Mrs. Roper hair.
I was shocked that nobody noticed I was in a moo-moo last week.
We have a guest this week. His name is Alex Grass. He is an author. He has a new anthology out called Infernal Tramps, Tales of Weird Terror. And I hope everybody had a chance to read at least one or two. I read a couple of them, found it to be very interesting and scary and spooky. But does anybody have the ED? And I'm not talking about the...
I have erectile dysfunction.
I'm talking about the explosive diarrhea.
Joe had explosive diarrhea.
My stomach feels like that time I had explosive diarrhea.
Case of explosive diarrhea.
Anyone eating a Taco Bell? No.
No.
No? Okay, good. You know, sometimes I have that, but it's not the parasite. So, just so you know, sometimes I do have it.
Hey!
You know what? I watched the first episode of Little Boring House on the Prairie, and I'm not going to watch the rest of the series. I didn't think it was particularly bad or anything like that. I didn't think it was woke. I like the doctor character, so I'm not one of these, there are no black people in Kansas in the 1800s, or like a lot of people. I don't even know if people are doing that, but it's just, it wasn't interesting at all to me. And I think it's a lot more to do with how much I revere the original series, I guess. But I didn't find any of these characters to be all that interesting. Maybe the neighbor, the Native American, they were kind of cool. But I didn't find this paw to be that compelling. Anyone else watch it?
Yeah, I did. Oh, sorry, Jeff.
I watched all of it.
I watched a lot of it.
I went in there as a naysayer, and it hooked me.
Sam Neill passed away. Rest in peace to Sam Neill. He was 78 years old. Everybody knows him from Jurassic Park, where he was Dr. Alan Grant. I like him as Vasily Borodin in The Hunt for Red October. He was the first time I remember seeing him in anything. He was grown-up Damien Thorne in The Final Conflict, Damien Omen 3. Not a very good movie, by the way, but scary when you're 13. He played Cardinal Wolsey in The Tudors, which I liked quite a bit. And those are some of my favorite. You guys have any?
Event Horizon.
Yeah.
It was really good. And In the Mouth of Madness is probably my favorite one of his. John Carpenter, kind of meta about the author, books and authors and reality. Yeah.
Y'all have a favorite role or a favorite scene or anything with him? Please just put it in the comments on the YouTube page. We have a guest coming up later. We're going to talk about his new horror book. His name is Alex Grass, and he has a horror anthology called Infernal Tramps. So this is kind of appropriate. There's going to be a new Nightmare on Elm Street. Wes Craven's family, who do they have there? It's produced by his widow, Aya Labunka, and their son, Jonathan Craven, along with producer Mark Toberoff. Plot details are being kept under wraps, but are we excited for another round of Freddy Krueger?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm excited because they got their rights back. You know, they had lost them before he had passed. And that's how they were able to make that Jackie Earl Haley version, you know, about 10 years ago.
Yeah, 2010. I don't want to crap on Jackie Earl Haley because I like him.
No.
That movie was terrible.
Yeah, the movie was not good. But, I mean, I thought he did a good job with what he had to work with, you know, as Freddy. But with this new one, you know, trying to reboot it, if they're looking to make it a, you know, another Nightmare on Elm Street universe, and they're going to plan it out that way, it's got some possibilities. I'm kind of interested because the rumors going around is that they're looking to get Jim Carrey.
Wow.
To play Freddy Krueger. And that, it really, at first I was like, oh, that's stupid, but he could pull that off.
I mean, I agree he could be, but I don't think he's going to do it.
I don't know.
You don't think he will? I thought he was pretty much retired.
He says that, but I think it just...
Only Sonic brings him out. Only
Only Sonic has those kind of zeros on the check after.
Or shitload of money. You're right. A shitload of money would bring him out. If not Jim Carrey, they can get Heather Shaw. Yeah, who, by the way, I interviewed. If you want to hear that, it'll be during the Sunday show on WSB tomorrow night. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Sunday night, 6 to 8 p.m., Tim Andrews and George Clark. Do you guys have a favorite? I love the original. It's so good. It was so new and fresh and creepy and scary as hell. Do you have a favorite as far as the sequels go? Mine is Nightmare on Elm Street 4, Dream Warriors. Oh, Dream Warrior is the third one? It's not the fourth one?
Uh-uh.
Okay. And, of course, I fell in love with Heather Langenkamp back then. And that great song by Dokken, right?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You're going to say you like the second one?
Only because when I was a kid, I thought that bus scene was so funny.
You thought it was funny. I thought it was horrifying.
Yeah, so
it scared the shit out of me. I like that one too.
The things when I thought was funny, were probably horrifying to others. Maybe I joked about it because I was scared. I don't know.
Well, the second one is also my favorite one, but it's my favorite one for a totally different reason. I enjoyed it growing up, and it, like I said, the bus scene, those things, you know, bringing him back with a bigger budget. But watching that film now, you get to see it for what it really is, and it was so much of a gay anthem movie.
What?
It's all gay overtones through the entire film.
Yeah,
I didn't have to rewatch it.
It's so much so that it could be a gay exploitation film. If you watch it now and that looking at it that way, you totally see it.
Like because of the shirtless teenage boy and
his dad's mad at him all the time. Yeah.
All right. There's a video on YouTube called How Freddy's Revenge Caused a Gay Awakening. This is Friend of Dorothy's, which I had no idea about this stuff. Core themes and subtext, link to that.
I'll put a link in the description.
I had no idea. Wow. Wow. Oh, yes. I want to watch all these Nightmare on Elm Street. I don't think, I guess after three, there really aren't any good ones. I can't imagine.
Yeah, once they started mixing Jason and Freddy together.
Yeah.
That annoyed me.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I had friends that went to the theaters to see it, and I was like,
Well, let us know what you think. If you're ready for a whole new universe of Nightmare on Elm Street films, leave us a comment. Let us know what you think, and let us know what your favorite film is and some of your favorite quotes. This is a horror story. Tom Segura and his wife, Christina P., are Splitsville after 18 years of marriage. Now, I guess if you've been following them and you watch their podcast, you saw this coming before I did because they haven't been doing the show together for months. But apparently it's all amicable and they're going to be co-parenting their children, which just means they're sharing custody. I don't like modern talk, modern words, co-parenting. Now they're sharing custody of their kids. Neither of them have commented on it. The latest episode of Podcast Cringe talks about how crazy their situation is. And my favorite quote, it's not very nice, but my favorite quote from one of the commenters on the YouTube video is, Christina having cancer must have been so inconvenient for Tom. Dr. Jeremy Dunks.
Like, it's none of my business. I don't know what's going on with them, you know, personally. But from an outsider looking in, it's like, she's beat cancer. You know, he's lost weight. He's now successful. And it's not a good look.
He's got that season two Netflix money.
Oh yeah.
And you go back and you look at some of the jokes, and they banter back and forth, but like he always joked about getting a younger, hotter wife.
Yeah.
And then when she had cancer, he would joke about, they would go through and joke about her dying and how he would, what wife he would get. And they would look at pictures of girls. Yeah. And it just didn't age well, I guess.
And I think that was the way the whole time. He's always been a cold dude. He's ruthless. And I think it wasn't an act. I think he's genuinely a ruthless person.
And he says he doesn't look as like at women like they're people. And she's like, oh, I know that about you.
Yeah. Really? Yeah. Maybe I thought they were perfect for each other.
Well, everybody did. And that was kind of what they wanted. And when they knew that that's how the public perceived them, they used that and built up YMH. Right. You know, I mean, I think it was more of a business decision. I think that's why it's amicable, is because they both knew that it was probably over for them a long time ago.
Yeah.
They just kind of kept it going for the business portion of it. And then once he broke his arm and he started losing all his weight and getting all healthy and becoming the person that he wanted to be all those years that he was, you know, a fat guy, it changed him. He's not the same comedian that he was. He's definitely not as funny as he used to be.
No, he was a lot funnier back in the day.
Well, she's hotter than him, so.
I think they'll both land on their feet one way or the other.
Yeah.
What did she have? Did she have breast cancer?
She had breast cancer. She had a double mastectomy done and a tummy tuck all, you know, at the same time that he was going through the rehab of his arm. Isn't that all that Rogan, you know, therapy, you know, testosterone stuff? Yeah.
Radio Labyrinth is also brought to you by the Punchline Comedy Club in Sandy Springs, Georgia. Tucked inside the legendary Landmark Diner, the Punchline is Atlanta's longest-running premier comedy nightclub. Get yourself a nice meal, have a couple of drinks, make sure you tip your wait staff, and satisfy any cravings you have while you are laughing. Coming up this weekend, Michelle Traina. July 17th and 18th, Michelle Ryder, also known as Shelly Belly. July 19th, Gus Constantelis. July 23rd, Connor King. July 24th through the 26th, Samuel J. Cumroe. If you want tickets and you're a Patreon member, just send me a message and we'll hook you up. You don't have to do it on Patreon. You can just send it directly to me. Most of you are following me. For tickets and information, go to punchline.com. All right, Trailer Trash this week. Buddy, which is a new horror movie. It's a horror movie, right? It looks like one. Directed by Casper Kelly, who's been on this show multiple times, and I guess we're going to have him on again soon, Jeff?
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about Buddy.
It's like a horror movie kind of based on Barney.
Mm-hmm.
It's got that Casper Kelly sensibility.
Yes, so it's going to be great. And also... Yeah. Who else is it?
The girl from Penguin.
Christina Milioti, Topher Grace, Michael Shannon. Yeah, Dustin's friend, Michael Shannon. Patton Oswalt, Keegan-Michael Key is Buddy, the unicorn. Clint Howard, and a couple of kids. So this looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. And I guess people have already seen it because it has an 84% on Rotten Tomatoes.
He's been taking it around to festivals.
Awesome. What else do we have in our trailer trash? Camp Crystal Lake, which I guess is a Friday the 13th prequel series.
Yeah, it's just Crystal Lake.
Oh, it's not called.
There's no camp.
Is this a movie or a TV series?
It's a TV series.
It's a series that follows the summer, I guess the summer that Jason drowns.
Okay.
So it's kind of a prequel to Friday the 13th. All the flashbacks that the mother was having and talking about, this is going to be a series based on that.
All right. And of course, I think you already said it, but Linda Cardinelli is playing Pamela Voorhees.
Yep.
Yeah, that'll be good.
And we don't know.
Spoiler alert. She's the killer.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of weird going into it.
Yeah, you already know that.
You already know that there's no Jason and the mother did it.
Yes. But hey, you know, people like to watch things over and over again. Now, you got to be careful with this next movie. It's called Digger with Tom Cruise. He plays Digger Rockwell. You have John Goodman in it, Jesse Plemons, who looks like he has Ozempic face. This is one of those movies that Tom Cruise makes, that he used to make in between his blockbusters, but he hasn't made a lot of these in a while. And there's a new Jason Pargan video where he kind of breaks this down. Did you guys watch this one
yet?
Yeah. And he says it better than I can or any of us can, but it's worth a watch. But this trailer, I want to see this movie.
Yeah, it looks like kind of Coen Brothers influenced.
Yeah,
very much so.
Yeah, very much so, yeah. And Cruise is a great actor. I mean, it's, you know, you can dispute it all you want, but he understands film and he understands how to make movies. And this one is no different. So, and then the last one we have for this week is I Play Rocky, which I love the trailer. I wish it was out right now. I would go see it. This movie.
I agree.
Really yeah, good. I can't
this
wait
guy's
to see
doing
it.
A great Stallone.
Oh my God. Amazing Stallone.
And Matt Dillon as his dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As Frank Stallone Sr. What a great cast. Matt Dillon, Stephen James is playing Carl Weathers. You have Anna Sophia Robb as Sasha. It looks really, really good if you haven't seen it. And I like Tracy Letts. He plays Sandy Maddox, one of the producers of the film. And he's married to, oh, I forget the name of the actress he's married to. She's really good. You guys know who.
But that story of him writing Rocky and getting it made, I mean, it needed to be a movie anyway. So it's going to fit right into the Rocky legacy.
Joining us this week is horror and weird fiction author Alex Grass, whose new collection Infernal Tramps: Tales of Weird Terror is out today, July 15th. Described as Twilight Zone meets Hostel, the book blends body horror, dark humor, and deeply unsettling real-world fears. Alex has also lived enough lives for several horror novels with a background that includes law school, public defense work, mortuary science, construction, strongman training, and more. He's done more in one lifetime than I have done in my entire lifetime. Please welcome to Radio Labyrinth, Alex Grass.
Also sometimes very subpar bowler.
Okay. Well, that's important. What's your handicap?
It's a severe derangement. Let's call it that.
This is an anthology. Do you usually write a lot of short stories? Have you done a lot of long form?
I've done much more long form. So my other books, there's four of them, two or three of which I would suggest that you read. And they're all novels, you know? In fact, one of them's like 110,000 words. One's like very long. And just recently in the last year or two, I sort of, you know, when you go down a rabbit hole, you're trying to explore something new you like, whether it could be like a movie, like let's say you're a kid and you see, you know, Halloween, and then you move on to, you know, Friday the 13th and work your way through all the slashers. Well, I was looking for a very specific type of horror story, and I'd read all these novels by Bentley Little. If you haven't heard of him, I highly recommend checking him out. And just like I was looking for something similar in tone, and I found my way to short stories, and I hadn't read short stories in forever. But I read a collection, and I was like, wow, this is pretty cool and kind of a lot of fun. And then I started reading almost exclusively short stories for something like a year. Now it's kind of balanced out. And, you know, I kind of or work in the vein that I'm reading it, and that's how it ended up happening.
Do you think about each one of these stories and putting them out to get them out, or is it something maybe you reserved one away that might develop later on? Do you ever, you know, go back to them, think it might be a well to pull from?
Oh my God. I just went through. So like I have this window open on my computer that contains in Google Docs, all the stories I'm working on. And periodically I'll do what I did today. And I went through and I just clicked out of six or seven of them. And I just knew that I was never going to see those again doing it. I was just like, goodbye, goodbye, goodbye. I mean, there's 17 stories in the collection, but there's like, I don't know, 40 that didn't make it in and that'll never see the light of day.
never say never.
Yeah, never say never. I read the first two, and I'm going to have to – I want to buy the book because I like to have the thing in my hand. I read them on my phone, and they're kind of creepy. I mean, they're short but creepy and scary, and I enjoyed them very much. So, you know, I like that kind of – I like short stories. I like horror. I like, you know, long books too, you know, novels and stuff. But it's a lot of fun. So, again, it's called Infernal Tramps. Tales of Weird Terror by our guest, Alex Grass.
Yeah, and tell everybody where they can find it. The usual places?
Yeah, usual places on Overlord Bezos's market. you know, soon you will be able to buy not just caskets, but the human bodies to put them in there. Search on Amazon, Alex Grass. It's G-R-A-S-S, like the green grass. And the book's name is Infernal Tramps. And you can also find it at the website, infernaltramps.com.
And what's the real long book you were talking about?
It's called A Boy's Hammer.
Yeah.
It's based in Finnish mythology. There's basically, you know, there's analogous myths in Scandinavia. And this is sort of the Finnish version of, you know, Odin and Thor and the, you know, the Viking mythologies, but for Finland. And for some reason, I chose for it to. And so no one mentioned this except one reader at one point. And it was like years after it had been written. He's like, why is this taking place in Philadelphia instead of Finland? And I'm like, because I grew up in Philadelphia. You know, that should be a right. reasonable question.
Now, the collection deals with, I mean, everything from. You know, like medical debt, addiction, loneliness, toxic relationships. Do you usually try to base everything in like a real world fear, like a logical base so that you can then mess with that logic?
I think that it comes out that way. I'm not sure how I would. I think I had it hammered into me. Through, you know, I've taken like I've not just been you know, conventionally educated, but I've also taken classes. And like, I remember one class that I took, it was like, you know, because every nerdy white Jew in New York has to do this, an improv class, you know, right. And it's, you know, the grounding is in reality. And that kind of always stuck with me. So like, if you're going to deviate from reality, you know, it has to be able to stand out. So like, for instance, you know, if you're at like a heavy metal show where, you know, Cannibal Corpse is playing and everyone's tattooed and pierced with long black hair, you know, you're not going to notice, you know, one person out of many. But if you're in the middle of a park where there's a child's birthday going on and someone walks through, you know, wearing a Pig Destroyer shirt and and a metal spike band around his neck, you know, that's going to stick out. So maybe it's that.
I guess what's your writing process to get into it? Like, what's going to motivate you to sit down and start writing and keep going?
Once I feel enough guilt that I haven't been writing, mm-hmm. I will sit down and I will explosively write. And I think that's as close to accurate as I can say.
Nice.
I try to do it every day. You know, I mostly succeed. I would say like 4 or 5 days out of 7, I get to it. But, you know, that's the secret. I think that's the secret sauce for everybody. Just like frequency. Yes. Try not to give yourself a hard time, which I can't follow my own advice, but just, you know, do a little bit every day if you can. Or if it's hard for you to sit down, you know, do it like while you're, I mean, this doesn't apply to everybody else. I was going to say, do it on your commute with your cell phone, but I forgot the rest of the whole country drives, you know? So don't do that. Please don't do that.
you know, just do it, you know, maybe while you're on the John, I guess.
Anytime you can.
Yeah, you
and
can
have
get
you
a
ever
lot,
been to a Cannibal Corpse concert?
Several times. And I actually used to like write back and forth with the bassist, Alex Webster. He was a tremendously kind person.
Cool.
Cool. Did you go to law school and where? And did you finish? And are you a lawyer? And how did that lead to becoming a mortician?
Yeah. So the mortician came first, but okay. I'll work my way backwards. I went to law school at Cardozo. I went on scholarship. And I did not finish because I cracked up in my third year and went to rehab for 3 months.
Okay.
And then when I got out, I was just kind of like, you know, I think this is not going to work for me. This is a different Alex, you know. And, you know, listen, I saw a lot of that. A lot of people, if they have like a inkling of, you know, if they gravitate towards like a vice to help themselves in law school, it brings that out. So there, you know, I saw people who had like not had a drink for years and, you know, they came back to it. And, you know, we used to see the same drunks at the same bar about two blocks away from law school.
Right. Yeah.
But I did not finish and I am not a lawyer, you know, and I don't even play one on TV actually, but my mother is a lawyer and like her whole side of the family is lawyers and her father was a law professor. And let me tell you, when I said to my mother, I'm not going to finish law school, I'm going to write horror. She had a goddamn conniption, you know, you know, and right. Just like it was crazy. Mortuary school was just because, you know, listen, people always think it's like, well, it makes sense. He's a horror writer. Actually, the reason I ended up going to mortuary school is because a relative of my mother's, sort of like, I think like a relative through marriage or whatever. This wonderful woman named Deborah Price got me a spot at Pittsburgh Institute of Mortuary Science. And it was an incredibly interesting time. And the people were not what you would expect at all. And everything that I learned was, I think, valuable in some way. And I was totally not ready to do it. And I just washed out.
Has it helped with your writing, especially the horror stuff?
You know what's interesting? I don't know that it's helped with the horror, although like there's always like the experience, you know, like I feel like I have an edge on some horror writers and that like I've seen plenty of dead bodies, you know, but I think like the things I learned actually help you to be a human being, you know, because it's something right. Like if you're working a funeral, like I remember this funeral, it was, you know, try feeling sadness within other people's sadness. It was like four or five people attending a funeral. And it was just really, really unnerving, you know, to like realize that this person had lived a whole life and somehow either the people that they loved were no longer around or maybe they'd isolated them. But, you know, like nobody showed up to this funeral. But you have to tend to the people who do show up and you have to like treat everything with respect and reverence. And, you know, for a man in his early 20s, being made to understand that, you know, some things are sacred, you know, or so there are fourth walls that you cannot break. When you're tending to somebody's grief, you have to tend tenderly and with attentiveness. You know, I learned that, and that's served me in life, I think.
Yeah.
You mentioned one author of short stories. Do you have any other authors that you're really influenced by? Clive Barker, maybe?
I love Clive Barker. I love Clive Barker. I wish Clive Barker would do short stories again.
Yeah.
You know, that was like, it was, I don't know. Books of Blood is like, you know, like punk rock and, you know, like gay theater kids and,
right.
And it's like all that energy that like, that, you know, I guess like being gay when it was dangerous energy, you know?
Yeah.
What I loved about the books, it wasn't the blood, and like everybody loves the blood, you know, cause Barker was sort of a gore master. But like, what I loved was like, you know, like the idea that something was seething under the surface. Like one story he did is about like a race between, you know, the good world or the normal world, for and a literal foot race between the good world and like a representative of hell. And if the representative of hell won, hell would reign on earth. And they were just like meeting, or the person who stumbled on the conspiracy finds them just like in like sort of like an underground parking garage, or like a sub basement in a building, I forget which. And the idea that something like so sinister and life altering and catastrophic for the world could just happen in like, I don't know, an office building or a car, or a car park. That to me was the strength of Clive Barker's stuff, I think.
Yeah, I always thought how he could make you simultaneously feel the sexuality in his books and the disgust at the exact same time.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And let me tell you, it's brimful of both.
You know?
If not for Clive Barker, you know, there's a lot of people who wouldn't even exist. I mean, like, there's a guy right now, he's very popular. His name's Eric LaRocca. You know, essentially, he's like Clive Barker for the modern age. You know, it's the cool thing about horror, I think, is that you can work your way back and sort of see the lineage, or like see the intellectual ancestry. You know, you can see like Clive Barker working back to like, you know, he wrote Grand Guignol plays, which I don't know if I'm even saying that right, but are basically like plays that used to be performed in, you know, sort of burlesque. Yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Used to be performed in French burlesque. And, you know, many things are, but horror is a very, very European art form.
Yes.
You know, go back to ghost stories in Britain and, you know,
Krampus.
Yeah. The Germans are a punch above their weight.
Yeah, they do. What movies did you watch as a kid? Did you get into horror as a kid watching these films?
Yeah, for sure. I remember a very The Fly, David Cronenberg's The Fly with Jeff Goldblum. That was a big one for me.
Scary, and because, you know, it's so gross, and you're like, this, I don't want this to happen to me. I don't want to turn into a fly. And
I want to put my dick in the medicine cabinet.
Yeah. Everything's so much scarier when you're a kid. So, yeah. Like, I think it's the things that I watched. You know, I remember watching like that and Killer Clowns from Outer Space. And, you know, like before I got into Halloween, I watched a boatload of the Friday the 13th movies. But I also remember feelings I had as a kid watching stuff that like nobody watches now and like wasn't, you know, very popular then. I remember the movie The Dentist with Corbin Burnson.
Yeah. That's a great movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that like scared the pants off me when I was a kid. Cause like, imagine, you know, like he had a similar name to like people who I went to synagogue with. And like, so like the idea that like there's this nice acculturated, educated Jewish man who could totally snap and then strap you down in a chair and drill your teeth out without anesthesia. I was like, that really like that gave me that hot white heat of panic right behind my neck. You know,
that there's the movie The Stepfather. Not the remake, but the first one with, and I forget the actor's name, Jeff, you might remember, the guy from Lost. He's in it. That movie was just really
Terry O'Quinn.
Huh?
Terry O'Quinn.
Yeah, Terry O'Quinn. Low key, just I was older, and that scared me. The movie, it's not really a horror, but Eating Raoul. I watched that when I was young. That scared me because of the cannibalism aspect to it. Just, I've always had a fascination and love for horror movies, even the obscure ones, the crazy ones. And, you know, I'm older. I'm 55 and I got a 5-year-old. I can't wait till he gets old enough to where I can start watching him with him. So I can't, you know, if he's interested, you know, I'm not going to force him on him.
I have 3 myself. I have a 20-year-old. She and I watch a lot of horror together. But listen, I think there's also a thing about like, I mean, we're like a half generation off, but we're reasonably close. I think we experienced the same things. There's the thing about like, it was very taboo. You know, horror is very much mainstream now, right? Yes.
Oh, yeah.
But it used to be, you know, like if you watch horror or you read horror, you enjoyed it. People looked askance at you.
Yeah, they did.
You know, they thought you were like a little bit, you know, like when's he going to snap or whatever.
Really, they're the most grounded people.
Yeah. I mean, isn't that the case with everything? You know, I just remember like people have all these, you know, preconceived notions, and sometimes, you know, maybe like 2% of the time they're right. But like, I remember like when I started really getting into weightlifting and I started doing strongman, and I'm like, wow, these are the nicest people I've met in my entire life. They're incredibly wholesome. You know, it's like, what'd you do this weekend? Oh, nothing, man. You know, I spent time with my kids and I made sure to get to sleep nice and early. And then we woke up and we went to church.
Well, go ahead again and let everybody know where they can get the book.
Sure. Go on Amazon and search Infernal Tramps by Alex Grass, or you can just type in my name, Alex Grass, and you'll find the new book along with some, less capably written ones. But I encourage you to pick up the new collection, and you can go to infernaltramps.com and find basically everything you need there.
Awesome. Well, it's nice to meet you, Alex. Thank you for joining us on the show, and come back next time you have something to talk about and promote. We'd love to have you back.
I would absolutely love to. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Thank you to our guest. What an interesting guy. I hope we have him back again. Alex Grass, everybody.
Hey, it's your former president, George W. Bush. Atlanta Pizza and Euro is a family-owned, and I love that, restaurant in Conyers. And they've been serving the East Metro since 1983. They offer the best Greek and Italian specialties made fresh to order. Open Monday through Friday from 11 to 9, Saturdays from 12 to 9, and of course they're closed on Sundays, so you can go fishing with your family. Because I believe that the man and fish can coexist peacefully, and you should be able to put food on your family. They also got a food truck, so if you're interested in booking a food truck for a corporate or private event, please contact Mike at 770-483-6228. Thanks for listening to Radio Labyrinth and for all your continued support.
Do you have commercial or residential construction printing needs? Sure, we all do. Well, what are you waiting for? Contact LDI Repro Printing of Athens. They've been in Athens, Georgia since 2005. With fast turnaround and affordable prices, call 706-316-9366 or email them at athens@ldiline.com.
His views.
Snooze. Yeah, The Hawk started on Netflix. Is anybody going to watch this? This is the Will Ferrell golf show.
I'm not going to watch it.
I bet it's kind of funny.
I'll watch one.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll do that. I'll watch one.
You might check it out.
I like Stick a lot, though, so I'm probably going to not like this one as much. King of the Hill comes back for season 15. The 20th.
Oh, I'm definitely watching that. That's a
all
view.
10 episodes are dropping at the same time.
They must have made 20 at once.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Shit, I canceled Hulu. I have to get Hulu. I canceled Hulu. I got to sign up again. Damn it. Maybe I'll find it somewhere else.
And then Wendell Pierce's new show looks pretty good. It's on Hulu called They Fight, where he plays like a Mickey kind of character that coaches kids in a rundown boxing gym. I like Wendell Pierce, though.
I like him, too. He's a great actor. Yeah,
I'm going to check it out. That's called They Fight on Hulu. It starts on the 17th.
Somebody give me their login for Hulu so I can watch these things.
Okay.
Hey, before we get to staff picks, I want to tell everybody that I am in a sketch comedy show that is not just me. I mean, I'm only in one sketch where I played Donald Trump, the president. But it's a great group of folks. If you're interested in hearing the four primary cast members, you can listen to the most recent episode of the Tim Andrews Popcast, which is available anywhere you find podcasts. I interviewed everybody and they do a scene from it. I'm, like I said, doing a Donald Trump at a press conference, and it's very funny the way it was written. And I'm finally got my lines almost down. And I'm learning them. I'm writing them down. But if you're interested, go to Ovations Theater and .com. It's called it's directed by Kelly Balsley, and the name of the show is My Dead Cat Rhonda. Now the sketch group doesn't have a name yet, which we talk about in that interview. But like I said, I've watched them learn all their lines as I've gone to the practices for Act 1. I haven't gone to the Act 2 practices because I'm not in Act 2. But I've gone to all these, and they're really, really funny, and they're really tight, and they've all written their own parts and stuff, and Kelly's an experienced theater director. So I would check it out. Go to Ovation, or just follow the link that Dustin put here.
Yeah, links in the comments below.
All right, staff picks. My staff pick is very easy this week. It's Stephen Wright, who I love, on Howie Mandel Does Stuff. Stephen Wright is a very funny comedian. I've always liked him, and I'll pretty much watch anything he does.
Yeah, I'm going to check that out.
He's still alive?
Yep.
Hey.
Howie Mandel? Yeah, he's still alive.
Yeah, Howie Mandel. Yeah, he hasn't died yet, Lizzie.
No, Stephen Wright.
I know what you meant. Feeling kind of hyper. Dad hated him, didn't he?
No, he liked Stephen Wright.
I thought your dad didn't like him because I said he was one of my favorite comedians, and your dad said, oh, I'm sorry. I thought your dad didn't like him. Anyway, go ahead.
I got Back Rooms. It came out in 4K this week. Yeah. And I got a chance to sit down and watch it since I didn't go with them to the theater. Really good movie. It's unique and different, which was cool to see my kids just interested in a movie enough to where they didn't shut up about it for 2 weeks. Check it out if you get a chance. It's a good watch.
Cool.
Mine's Billy West's book came out yesterday.
How is it?
Vice Versa. It's good. And he reads the audiobook.
Does he do voices in the audiobook?
Yeah, he hasn't yet, but it sounds like Fry is reading the book.
Really?
Yeah. That's funny. But he might be able to come next week if we can nail him down.
Oh, yeah, let's get him. I'd love to have him.
For sure.
The only thing I've really been watching this week was the World Cup and House of the Dragon.
House of the Dragon was really good this week.
Yeah, it's been like every episode has been very good this season.
I agree. And
yeah,
it's one of those things where you know the outcome, but I'm still watching it and enjoying it. So.
Well, you never know with HBO.
Well, you know
what they're going to do with Game of Thrones world.
Well, they can't do anything with her outside of what happens to her in the book, yeah. In the story. But hey, you want to support this show? It's very simple. Just go to patreon.com/Tim Andrews. And for the low cost of $5 a month, you can become a Radio Labyrinth Patreon member. Delightful. And you'll get a brand new sticker. In fact, we have three that we can mail to you. So just go there right now. Patreon.com/Tim Andrews. $5. That's it. That's all we ask. You can be a producer and all that jazz and get a t-shirt. But a $5 commitment a month, I think that's half a pack of cigarettes. And not every day. 1 month? $5 is nice. That's it. That's all. Thank you. Let's see. Hopefully we have Billy West next week, and we will hopefully have Casper Kelly coming up soon. Thanks again to our guest this week, Alex Grass. Check out his books and check out his website and all of that. Remember to leave comments and stuff on our YouTube page. We'd love it if you did that, and share us with your friends. Turn on all the bells and whistles. And if you're listening to us on an audio medium, leave us a review there. Just let us know somehow, and we'll make sure to read it. I guess that's it. Anything else? If not, please remember to keep it canon.
Keep it canon.
They say all good things come to an end.
What's that got to do with this show?
Lost in the radio. Never fade away, and now the radio labyrinth will
Hi, everybody. It's James and Andy here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two-fourths of a group of people who love facts, and we love to find new facts, and we come here every week and tell each other about them. For instance, Andy, did you know that one of the world's oldest cycling road races is getting much harder because people keep stealing the road?
I want to know more already, but I'm instead going to tell you my new fact, which is that some ancient coffins from the 17th century have faces.
The coffins have faces.
It's really creepy.
Not just on the inside.
No.
Wow. If you like the sound of those facts, or indeed facts in general, then come and find us, No Such Thing as a Fish, wherever you get your podcasts.